You are listening to the For the Rose Tech Podcast, episode 274, where we do our 2016 post-dictions. Season 6, episode 274 of the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast. Today is December the 25th, 2016. I'm Matthew Dean Furlough, and celebrating Christmas with his growing family is my brother, James Furlough.
Wait, is today Christmas? Did that happen today?
Yeah, I guess. That's what I've been told.
Oh, okay. Days have been blurring by. I finished work on Thursday at 4 p.m. Okay. And it just so happened that was the exact hour in which my wife started having contractions. Thursday night at 11:45, I had a son.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
I was not supposed to until January 9th.
Sorry.
Now my bathroom is not anywhere near done, but that's cool.
Hey, you know. Now you have all the time in the world, right? Or no, wait, that's the other way around, right?
Yeah, but it's all good. Yeah, so I had my Christmas present early.
That's awesome.
Samson Vincent Furlough.
That's very exciting.
Locked in at 5 pounds, 9 ounces, 17 inches. So he's a little, we call him the sack of sugar. It's not even quite big enough for the sack of flour, but.
That's pretty funny. Season.
Yeah, and he's pretty sweet.
That's awesome. That's cool. Obviously, yeah, our parents have been up with you for Christmas. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, they ditched you.
I know. They ruined my Christmas celebrate with yours.
That's true. The turkey that they have been raising for Christmas, though, looks like it got a reprieve, which was pretty nice.
She got a stay.
Christmas miracle.
Exactly. It's funny because I've been taking care of the turkey since Dad's been gone. I should mention other people have been involved as well. It's been a team effort.
By our
sister and my girlfriend. I want to give credit where credit's due. In this season of
three people
cheer,
one person's job. Cool.
Well, you see, the tricky part is that I live 45 minutes from the house, the act of letting the turkey in and out of her cage is not the difficult part.
5 minute job.
Yeah, it takes longer to wash my hands after refilling the water buckets.
I hear you.
You know,
that's cool. Yeah. So, sorry your Christmas was canceled.
That's all right.
More importantly, why aren't you up here? That's really the question that I've been pondering.
Work.
I have a new nephew. Like, I'll see you when I see you.
It was sort of a timing
issue.
Did you work
today? That's weird.
I didn't.
Did you work on yesterday, Saturday?
I didn't, actually.
Oh, okay. Did you? Huh. All right.
Hey, honestly, it was kind of a thing about me not taking Friday off, because originally I was going to take Friday off. My boss got bored, I guess, or something, like halfway through the workday on Friday, and just was like, after lunch, was like, everybody can go home. I was like,
you've really
got to be kidding me. And now I'm like, I could have just called in sick this morning. I came in, I didn't even, and because it was the last day before Christmas, like vacation, of course we sat around and talked for our like morning meeting, and ended up, I did like 2 hours worth of work. I was like, this is super great. That's so glad I didn't go up to Oregon for this.
It's all right.
But whatever. You know what, James?
You can make it up later, I'm sure.
Honest. That's the goal, I guess, I hope.
Actually, we'll have to figure it out how to get down there. Since turns out there are pluses and minuses to working for large tech companies. Here's my attempt to make it relevant.
Because I was looking for it.
So one of the perks is, high margins, typically.
Yeah.
And high leverage as well in terms of your revenue per employee, which is super nice, which means your perks can be pretty good. Now, don't get me wrong. There are a ridiculous number of bureaucracies and red tape where you're just like, really? But, but one of them is, as a new dad, I get 20 days off.
Yeah.
And since this is technically now vacation time, it does not... Oh, man, my daughter's going nuts. It does not count against my paternity leave. So, that's another one, like, HP's just like, dude, take Christmas through New Year's off. Like, just nobody works. The entire company shuts down. Which, on one level, you're like, oh, that's smart. On the other, they make you use your own vacation time. So you're like, well, that's lame. But
wait, you have a mandatory use of your vacation time.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's somewhere between 5 and 6 days every year.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. I know. The first couple years were not easy because you get... Two weeks total. Right.
Yeah, you don't get any extra vacation time.
Now, the way it works at HP, though, is every year that you work, you get another day off up to a certain amount of time. So now that I've been there for a few years, like, it's not so bad because...
Now you're to a normal level of vacation.
Yes. That's... Discretionary vacation, yes. It's weird. It's totally weird. But anyways... So I'm taking this mandatory vacation right now.
There's gonna be, this is a theme that will come back about the nature of HP in the year they've had in 2016.
Yes.
I just let this like sink in and just hold this in your mind because we're not done talking about this company.
Okay. So anyways, vacation time now. I will get 20 days later and then I will get to use my vacation time for the remainder of the year. Plus I bought a week. So, in anticipation of having a child. So, when it's all said and done, I think I'm going to have, 6 weeks of vacation next year.
It's all right.
Let me think about this. I'll have 4 weeks for paternity. I get 3 weeks for, oh my gosh, I'm not doing this math right. I've earned 3 weeks, and I bought one. So, no, I'll have 8 weeks. I will literally not work for 2 months next year.
Oh, man.
I kind of laughed. I'm like, well, I'm not going to get any work done.
Yeah, you spread that out right, or you won't.
That's my goal. I'm trying to do almost a week a month. That's pretty awesome. What I'm aiming for.
Well, that makes it easier on me than coming down. Except my girlfriend likes going up to Oregon, so
yeah. But so
you're
anyways,
that way. You might get us anyways.
Yeah, 2017 is going to be an awesome year.
Yeah. That's That's great. That's cool. That's exciting. You know what, James? Though we're not here to talk about 2017. Okay.
No, we're not.
This week we're going to be talking about technology and the continuing corporate opera. Kind of. Actually, not the continuing corporate opera, but rather the last year's corporate opera. This is a great show. This is my second favorite show of the year. But what do we talk about when we talk about the corporate opera? We mean specifically the soap opera of corporations, how they deal back and forth with each other, the people that work with them, the marketing campaigns that they use, the technology that they develop. And this week's special show is, it's our post-diction show where every year we do a prediction show. That's my favorite show because it's just us fun trying to figure out what's going to happen.
Oh, I'm so excited for that show. I've got ideas.
But predictions... Anybody can predict. It's only worth listening to somebody's predictions if they get it right, and you only know if they get it right if they grade themselves. So we're grading ourselves on our 2016 predictions this year, which means we'll do a little bit of a recap right now. Oh, I know. I'm so excited. It means
do you have an inkling before we even, like, I just like...
Oh, okay, I'll say this.
It's cool if you don't. I feel individually,
we both got a C.
Oh.
But it's because we were almost, but this is the thing. If you assume that only one of us has to be right, we were like 100%, which doesn't sound that impressive if things are binary choices, but a lot of these were, we were predicting things that nobody was talking about happening.
Yes.
We just threw it out there. One of
By
us.
By the way,
threw it
I'm
out
super
there.
Pumped because I think we're going to add a couple new categories of predictions for next year.
I know, yeah.
Because the world is changing.
It's great. So the fact that we did as well as we did. Anyways,
I'm
good
for the show. I'll be honest.
Yes, I'm. Me too.
I know. The predictions is probably your favorite show. This is probably my favorite show.
Yeah.
And predictions is probably my second favorite.
So Okay, let's get right into the before we get into the heart of the show.
By the way, I work for HP. I don't represent HP or any of their opinions. I also own part of Twitter, Etsy, and Lending Club.
That's awesome. Cool. I work for a company that makes me work on half days on Friday before Christmas. If you want to follow us throughout the week, my Twitter is at Matthew D. Furlow. My Instagram is NextWiggin for if you'd like to contact me. Twitter's a great place to do that, or Facebook, whichever. Whatever you're feeling good about, you can just reach out, say something.
Yeah, for as long as Twitter's still around, it's a great place to contact me and follow me as well.
Prediction show is next week, James.
Oh, yeah, that's next week. I told you I love it. I tend to retweet a lot, so make sure that setting is on for me. I'm not necessarily an original content guy. I'm more of a content curator type of sharer, I've noticed.
My Twitter activity is almost exclusively content creation. I'm less frequent, but it's gold, Jerry. It's gold.
It's gold. I'm James Furlow.
Cool. Awesome.
Twitter on .com, Facebook, LinkedIn, Pinterest, I guess. I was on there for the first time in like forever looking at shelving things.
Nice.
Because I was under this false impression I was not going to have a kid and have time to do projects.
I have a feeling that this is going to be a theme for the next couple of weeks.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Hey, right now I'm in that special shock phase where life's great. Next week I'll just be like, I'm tired and life's over.
That's awesome.
But it's going to be a prediction show, so I'll be up for it. Anyways. Yeah.
So we're not covering any news this week, even though news happened this week, but you know what?
Oh my gosh, yes, it did. Just real quick, there are very few people in the world who I am jealous of. Mark Zuckerberg is one of them. Just want to put it out there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's because, like, I set goals every year, and for my goals next year, I'm going to build some smart things, like a notification system for my washer and dryer. We've talked about the windows opening and closing. He built Jarvis this year.
it's amazing what you can do when you have an army of engineers who will help you out.
I know. Well, he used Facebook tools, but did it all himself because he wanted to learn, which I know, like, that's the equivalent of standing on the shoulders of giants. But I'm like, okay. It's one thing to have an amazing company, to be a billionaire. Sounds like you have a good relationship with your wife and kid, which is great. It's another to say, I want to do this project. And, like, I have the coding skills to do it. And I feel like I'm just going to be, like, bashing my head against the wall. And he's like, you know, I really struggled with how to get it to differentiate between play something from this artist versus play something in this genre versus, what was it? There was, like, a third one. He goes, they all sound the same, but they're all different things. And depending on who's saying it, you should come up with a different answer based on the intelligence of the machine.
See, this
and I'm like, yeah, that's great.
Yeah. That's cool. That's awesome. And see, this is why I roll my eyes. Because you say all he did was use Facebook tools, but this is the tricky part. He used proprietary Facebook tools, which are built by some of the smartest engineers on planet Earth. B, he employs those engineers. So if he has a question about the nuances of how they work, and
which
says,
he did.
Hey, can you give me a 5-minute lesson on this? They'll go, yeah, Mark, we'll give you whatever you want.
That was he did say, like, he goes, that was the perk of being a CEO is whenever I had questions, people tended to answer them really fast.
Yeah, exactly. Like, well, and the best part was cool. He would probably go, I'm sure this happened and nobody told him, where he'd go, hey, I was reading this doc and it seems like I can do this with this. Can I not do that with that? And they started typing and said, no, you could do that with this. Just give me a second.
Yeah.
That feature exists. Yeah, I mean,
oh my gosh. Yeah, but anyways, it sounds super cool. I feel like I'm literally going to do I'm going to copy him in terms of my goals next year. But I'm also like, have you seen that meme online where it's like these professionally made Cookie Monster cupcakes and then it has like, and I made them.
Yeah.
And they're just totally messed up and gnarly. And it's just like, nailed it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's how I feel like I will be. Where I'm like, I made a notification system.
Yeah.
Jarvis.
That's pretty much. So I do want to read this one news article really, really, really quick. This was posted on December 22nd by TechCrunch, and the title was AWS Catapults Amazon into Breakout 2016 on Wall Street. That's pretty much all I wanted to say about that. We'll get back to it in a second.
Okay.
Because in the notes under that article, I have a note that said, called it? Question mark? So yeah, and this is, so for those of you who don't know, I go back and listen to the show. We don't like take notes during the predictions. I always go back a year later and try to get into the mindset of where we were, what we were thinking about. Because it's amazing how sometimes I don't remember what it feels like to be looking forward on this stuff, because in retrospect, it was so, it just happened exactly the way we said it would, and it becomes part of this, like, the truth of what was going on. So I'll talk about, let's start with this. So we normally make some goofy predictions. First prediction we said was, I asked, is James going to get a Lockatron this year? James said, he'll get one. I said, no, he won't.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I got a smart lock.
So the next one.
And they are technically shipping now. Oh, they just started this month.
Sure.
So
I'm sure you got one.
Probably would have had I stuck with them.
So the next one. This one's an interesting one because I actually expanded it a little bit. And it,
that's funny,
I think,
actually.
I think we're in a middle ground on this one. Is James going to get a new TV?
Who, I repurposed an old monitor,
yes,
which is like a TV.
It was a double no from both of us, but this is the tricky part. I said a TV of any size or kind. And I think repurposing a TV or repurposing a monitor counts as a TV.
Which is all I really wanted.
Yeah, so we'll give it to you. We'll give it to you. That one, I'll say we both lost. We said no, and you got it. Thanks, James. But at least we don't have to make that prediction another year in a row.
That's true.
I guess we can change it to a 4K TV at this point.
We'll do
a 4K TV.
I think I know the answer to that one.
Yeah. Hey, Samson. So, and then the last
one. I know,
one,
I got an extra $2,000 to spend now, right? Because he came in 2016.
That's true. And then the last
one. Go to the bathroom remodel, so it's all good.
The last one of our personal ones was James asked, is Matthew going to have a new job?
Oh!
And I gave a definitive, unequivocal, oh yeah, I'll have a new job. And you went so far as to ask me which company I predicted I would work for. I actually predicted that I would be working for like a mid-sized tech company, probably. But my hopeful was I wanted to be working for Facebook. I decided Facebook was a cool company to work for.
Which I agree with.
James predicted Google or Lockheed. And I am still working for the same company. And that is...
Yeah. I feel like you could be working for Lockheed if you wanted to.
That is a can of worms that I cracked open just then. And I'm going to put that lid back on before opening it up completely. I feel like it would be fun to talk about.
Perhaps next episode.
About why that happened. Well, I'm thinking about... I think it's probably more an appropriate conversation off-air. Twitter at us if you want to hear about why. Anyways. Yes, that... So, as is tradition, we started off with Apple. And because we like to start easy, as we described it. And this is...
I feel like they let us down this year. But we'll see. We'll see. I don't go back and listen to it.
I know. Which
so
I like.
I'm just in as much like, I don't, I think I remember what I said.
So this is great.
I know how you I feel today though.
You don't remember how you felt that day. Cause you were angry about something or something
That's
was
right.
going on.
I
you
was
were
like,
miserable.
Super pessimistic.
And one of us is going to have to bring that pessimism
why.
Because it worked.
Ooh.
Yeah. It worked real good. So James said, this is the year of the Apple stumble. We're watching it start.
Did I really say that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're like...
I'm a genius.
Oh, yeah. You came into it. You came in with like, oh, yeah, just look at all the signs. He goes, it's all downhill. And you're like, first off, you could just look at the 10s in the stock market. They're going to be passed by Google at some point this year. Google's going to go above them.
That's right.
Definitely happen. And furthermore, you were like negative on any product category. You just like, not, this isn't going to, it's going to be disappointed. Everything Apple's going to do is disappointing this year. And I couldn't drag you out of it.
Oh my gosh, I'm so good. I didn't even know it.
I know.
That's amazing.
We said the MacBook Air would stay, but it would get no updates. Which is exactly what happened.
That's what happened.
We said the Mac... Okay, this is where we really missed, and I'll be honest, I took the lead on this one. I was emphatically sure that the Mac Mini and the Mac Pro would be the focus of 2016 big hardware updates. You agreed with me.
You and everybody else.
So. I know. You agreed with me?
All shocked. I read an article this week that was talking about, like, what the heck is wrong with Apple? And Tim Cook even had to come out and say, no, guys, it's still a priority. Trust us. Into his internal employees. So, yeah. Like, we're not the only ones.
Yeah. Things have come off the rails on that. And I don't want to get too far into, like, what we think. Well, maybe we should talk about what we think happened, because I think it will definitely change what happens next year. Like, well, I only grabbed a couple articles this week. Just in case. And I grabbed like 8 articles. Half of them were what's going on at Apple's Mac Pro factory. Apple would end American manufacturing if it could. Is Mac OS becoming legacy software? It was all just, you know,
yeah.
What's wrong with the Mac? And I,
which again, Tim Cook's comments like kind of fueled all the questions, which I get it. And people are right to ask what's going on.
Yeah. Well, I still come around, man. I think if Apple could figure out how to stop making the Mac, they would. I really do.
You say
it's
a mistake, though. That's like, if I could just figure out how to stop eating, you know how much money and time I'd save.
I know.
Well, I feel like that's that same that's the same thing they're saying, and you're like, no, you don't understand. This is like fundamental to your existence. Don't stop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, it seems not that great, and it seems like it's work and effort, but the payoff
is not there. And I think the biggest problem that they have,
I don't understand, like, dude, do the effort, at least put in the updates, keep things current, don't do special events, like don't spend the money and time on that, but like just be constantly upping the stats on these things.
Make them first in class products,
don't tout it.
Yeah.
You know, just let it be its thing.
Yeah, just let it be the best computer that you can buy for the money. And, you know, let them be super expensive, but that's fine.
Yeah.
And I honestly think
that must be what it is, right? They're not charging enough. Otherwise, they'd get more excited about it.
That sounds really weird. You know what I think happened? I actually think it's a little more nuanced than that. I think that there's a big stew of here, but I think one of the things that changed was... and we've talked about how their corporate structure works, and they actually have, there was a big announcement about the fact, or there's been a lot of hay made about the fact that they brought the Mac line into, like, under the iOS line and how they're all working together, so they have features across all the different products and everything. But I think the real big change has been that Apple is at the point where all new features, all exciting new things start on the iPhone and disseminate from there.
Right.
And I think the problem is that most other companies, most other developers, most everybody else start on the most powerful computer they can and then figure out how to move it down to the most mobile platform they can. And Apple switching that has some advantages, but it has other huge disadvantages. And there's a lot of people that
they can't follow fast enough.
Exactly.
Because if they could come up with a feature for the iPhone in September, and then in November say, like, hey, we're bringing it to the Mac, like, we'd all be like, cool, whatever.
Yeah, that's exactly. Well, and it's just like, well, it's not even that necessarily. It just so de-emphasizes the point of the Mac Pro and the Mac Mini, that the desktop computers start to super lag everything else in the iMacs, and they all start to lag the smartphones. When for pro developers, that's the platform that should be leading. And your most powerful computers are always a smaller market than commodity devices. That's just how it is. But commodity devices become amazing when people can develop for them. And developers need more powerful tools. And it's just like, the classic example is their Final Cut Pro, where they had one of the greatest software music software packages that you could get, and they completely dumbed it down so that it could be feature compliant with their iOS stuff, so it could touch be screens, yeah. mobile. And now it doesn't work for developers, and the software is languishing. It's one of those weird, like, no, you're supposed to make dumbed down versions for, you know, people want the best software that they can get, and they're okay with dumbed down versions of it for mobile. Like, I don't want a dumbed down version of Pages, and because they did the same thing with their iWorks stuff. Yeah, iWorks, and I don't know. I think that's what we're seeing, is you're seeing that a priority shift.
Yeah, they got rid of Mail Merge, so I switched over to Word.
Yep. Yeah. And honestly, I've been using all their iCloud stuff all year long, and I've actually been pretty happy with it for their folder sync and for documents and stuff. And it stopped working on my work computer this week. Ooh. They won't sync. And I'm like, nope, I'm paying you guys way too much money a year for this not to work. I can get the same service from other providers for cheaper. The only thing is it's not as well integrated with OS, yeah. You know, Mac OS. And I just. Well, we did predict. you said there'd be no Apple update. Or no Apple TV update till 2017. I said definitely there'd be an Apple TV update in 2016. The irony of that being that you and I make opposite predictions on that every single year. And you have been right every single year, and I have been wrong every single year. So I don't care what prediction you make this year about Apple TV. I'm going with you just so I can be right. Because last year, when they did update it, I said no and you said yes. So I hate it. We said that the USB-C was going to be a big deal on the Mac Pros. USB-C was coming to Mac Pro and it was going to be there to stay. That wasn't a huge deal because they'd already come out with the MacBooks that had the USB-C only, so it was like, yeah, okay, they'll move this to the rest of the line.
And they did.
Yeah.
They are. They eventually come out with the rest of the Mac lineup.
Exactly. You said that when it came to the Apple Watch, you said there'd be improved internals, no external changes.
There wasn't.
And they would introduce smart bands as in peripheral. I said they definitely won't do smart bands. There's not a chance. But I did say there'd be a new material, or at least a new finish.
There was.
I predicted a new body design, something similar but different. Missed. I did say that the bands would be interchangeable no matter what from body to body, which I still think would be true. But
yeah, and I think we didn't talk about them like going all in on the fitness tracker side of things.
We didn't hit it specifically, but we had been talking all year about the fact that it is a fitness tracker. That's what it is primarily. Like, we had identified, that was what we said in 2015, that was going to be a major focus of the Apple Watch. It's going to be a health tracker primarily. So
yeah, which it is now.
Yeah, exactly. I love it. We said it would be coming out in March.
Which, by the way, congratulations for hitting all your goals all week this week.
Yeah, did I?
You did.
Oh, nice. I didn't even know this. So it was just...
You got an award for it.
Achievement. Thank you. But yeah, we said that they'd give us no sales numbers, but it would be clear that Apple would be dominating by the end of the year, which they were.
Just true.
They are. I also said that I predicted that everybody else, in order to kind of stay ahead of Apple, were going to add cellular to their devices. A couple companies did. What we didn't predict was that everybody else would just give up. Stop. Yeah, that was not something we saw coming.
Which news came out that Google's going to do their whole Nexus game with a couple new watches next year. So they're
for those of you round two. Listen to the show and don't watch it. I rolled my eyes, and I'm more than happy to tell you why I rolled my eyes tomorrow
or next week.
Next week, yeah. Sorry. This is great. So one of the things that we talked about was the idea of table stakes and about how that there are things that are just standard that are necessary for all devices. And it's like, they're not features. They're just, you can't sell something without it. Right. One of those things that we described as table stakes was the headphone jack in your smartphone. But it gets better because we predicted they'd get rid of the headphone jack on the iPhone.
Yes! Now,
we weren't the only person who was saying it, but I did say specifically that they were going to waterproof it. They were going to come out with the full waterproofing.
Yeah.
And part of it was going to be they were going to be getting rid of the headphone jack to waterproof it.
Makes sense.
And
that's what they did.
Yep.
Damn, I know that company pretty well.
Yeah, I know. We said as far as the...
That's why we start with them. They're easy.
Exactly. Yeah. You said the iPad lineup would be getting pretty much... nothing cool. I said the iPad would get Force Touch.
Oops.
That's close. yeah. So the iPad,
It was just faster. Nothing amazing. That's all they did.
The iPad Pro come out this year with the pencil?
No, that was last year.
I'm pretty sure the iPad Pro came out this year with the...
No, it was last year.
Because
it was in March that the 9.7 came out.
Oh, yeah. You're right. You're absolutely right.
I
know that
because it came out while I was in Indonesia, and then I bought it the day I got back.
That's right. So, you know what? And it's funny now that I remember, we definitely did talk about the fact that they would bring Force Touch, but yeah. James, he was emphatically sure that the iPhone 7 would be called the iPhone 7 and it would have two lenses. Once again, your lenses predictions were my TV predictions. You had been predicting it for like 4 years. It's wrong every time. And you even said, hey, I gotta be right eventually.
Hey, you know, that's, yeah.
Yeah, you know.
That's how that works.
I said that you'd see incremental improvements to the camera. It would just continue to be the best camera that anybody's ever owned.
We were both right.
I would too. We said that it would, get rid of the headphone jack, the lightning connect, you'd have lightning connector earbuds, and Bluetooth would be your big options. They'd have no wireless charging, still be a connected charger. And everybody else is going to focus on faster charging. Apple was just going to stay the course with their chargers. And we also said that they want.
Yeah, to get Google rid of- definitely got into faster charging. I mean, that's their whole thing, right? Charge your phone for 15 minutes, get an extra 5 hours out of it, or something like that for their Pixel.
I mean,
that's their thing. It's like fast charging.
But yep, and that's what.
One of their things.
Same with Samsung, but we'll get back to them.
They just tended to.
We were
expend the energy a little bit.
Exactly. as Elon Musk liked to call it, rapid unplanned disassembly.
Yes.
Yeah, honestly, it's funny. We were doing great with Samsung, except for that little hiccup.
Oh, yeah, wow. But nobody saw that coming.
We did say that they were going to get rid of the bands that go across the back of the iPhone, the antenna bands, and that they were going to be using some sort of a new type of metal that was going to assist in that penetration.
The bands are still there. They just now go across the top.
Yeah, okay. I hear what you're saying. I realize how this is being pedantic, but that was like a big deal. That Apple made a big deal about getting rid of the bands, so we're going with it. Especially since it was 9 months later that they made a big deal about it. We also said that we called it the 6SE. It would be at the 6SC which would basically be the iPhone 6 in a 5-inch body. They did not call it the 6SC. They called it the 6SE. So, did pretty good. Well,
you missed one little line.
Yeah, exactly. Except we nailed the phone.
Everyone else was right.
Yeah. And we said they'd update all the operating systems. They wouldn't have any major UI changes. We said new watch faces.
Oh, true.
But no custom faces. I know. Yeah.
I technically have a Nike watch face. Does that count as new?
I know. James. Yeah, that's true. Well, no. New watch faces, just no custom ones.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I mean.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, so...
In terms of new, it was a pretty lame update.
I got new ones.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, no.
I've only had one.
No, there's some cool new ones. Yeah. And then, like having pictures on it, that was new. The motion pictures and stuff. Yeah, there's a lot of really great updates to it.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And then because you had predicted, you were doubling down on the dual camera, you were saying that Apple, this was going to be the year of AR. I said, no way, but that's because I didn't think they're going to put a double camera on it. So
Apple didn't, but everyone else is doing it now.
I know. It's so dumb. I can't believe they put two cameras on it and haven't jumped into AR. It blows my mind. We also said that Apple Pay would continue to grow, and there'd be no special incentives or anything. They just let it happen on its own, and they like a kid they were ignoring, they did. And we also said that there would definitely be no car this year, which, yeah,
it's easy and obvious, and there will be no car ever.
yeah. Well, there's a little bit of a hiccup in the middle of this year where I was looking through the articles. I guess there was one week where I was like, okay, maybe they'll build a car, and then 6 weeks later, they completely cancel the project, and I was like, oh, jeez, I'm so easy to sway.
As they brought Bob Mansfield in to kind of do it, and you're like, well, maybe.
To cut it, yeah.
I didn't know that at the time.
Exactly. you know what? That's exactly what it was. They brought Bob, now that you remember, I didn't actually read the article, I just read the headline, and I had to read, there's so many, we talk about so many things, I fly through those. So we said Alphabet will pass Apple in market cap, which they did for a hot second.
They totally did.
Still counts. You thought they would end the year with a higher market cap.
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
Are they?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Apple's still really? Numero uno. I know. As shocking as that sounds, Apple's still number one. Yeah.
Huh.
I know. Yeah.
Wow.
That blows my mind.
Predictions are going to be fun next year.
I know. I don't understand what's going on with the stock market. Nobody does. That's what makes it cool. We said they were going
to... Trump's fault. That's all I have to say. I'm kidding. I don't know.
You know what I am, what that was? I just said, yeah, maybe, which is my, like, defensive, I'm in a hostile situation and I can't talk politics honestly. Somebody says something political, yeah, maybe.
That's a good reaction.
Which, yeah, but I've been practicing because I've been with family for the rest of my girlfriend's family.
Thankfully, I haven't had to deal with that. We just talk about kids.
You know what? That's nice. Actually, I'll say it was very limited this year. There was very little. I think everybody's so sick of politics. They're just like, not even worth bringing up. But we did say, we talked about what search would be. Because if you remember, this was the first year.
So we're switching over to Alphabet now, right?
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay.
Unless you have final thoughts.
No. I was happy with our Apple predictions.
I
give myself an A for that one.
Yeah. We usually give ourselves a straight grade and then a curved grade because we're predicting the future after all. And I think combined, we got a B+ on Apple. We did pretty dang good considering.
I feel like I did better than you.
You did. No, you definitely did. I mean, like, I knocked it out.
So you're pulling us down. I'm just making sure we're clear about that.
Wow. All right. One of the great things that, so I'm gonna characterize our conversation about Alphabet, because
I know what my reaction was with them.
It was, what was your reaction?
Just like, I have no idea what they're doing.
No, so that was what was amazing. Alphabet, yeah, we were kind of like, yeah, we don't know what they're doing. But Google, one of the reasons we were excited about it is because last year was the first year we did a prediction show where Google was a subsidiary of Alphabet.
Okay.
And we predicted that it would make it easier because the whole point of breaking Google out into Alphabet was to give Google proper more consistency as a company and to make things easier and just more predictable. And so we were feeling pretty good about that. And you said that they were going to pass Apple in market cap. And you said that you thought that there was like no really great thing that was going to come from Google this year. And I was just like, what do you mean? Like, what are you talking about? How can Google pass Apple in market cap and yet not do anything impressive? And you were like, I don't know, man. It's just what I see happening this year. And I thought you were just being really angry and pessimistic. And then that's kind of what happened.
Like 2 months later. Even.
I know.
And everyone's like, why are they passing them? They didn't do anything. Like,
yeah.
It's the thing.
So,
and then once it happened, we were like, okay, we're cool. We can go back to it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, that was weird, right?
Humans.
So we talked about the idea that they're going to flatten the app landscape, focusing on Knowledge Graph and Google Now. This idea that they wanted, that search was going away because everything was getting hidden behind apps, and Google was going to work really, really hard to make Google kind of like a go-to place for all sorts of information, that they were going to try to break into other apps and to work with that. They did all of those things. They did them in spades. And they announced that those would be focuses. Like, it was weird. It's like they listened to us, how closely tied are what we said they were going to do to what they said they were working on. Like, sometimes we make predictions and we've got to twist ourselves a little bit to say we were right. Like, that's not what they said happened, but if you think about it the way we think about it, we were right. Whereas this is a weird one in that, no, this is what they said they were trying to do. They were going, after we said, hey, I think this is what they're going to try to do, which I think tells you about what the kind of company, the kind of company they have become, that they are predictable, especially Google, that they are predictable now. We said that Facebook was going to outgrow them as a percentage of the company, but that Google was still going to be way bigger than them and dominate from an ad revenue perspective. That's definitely still true. And both of those things are true. Facebook is growing. Google is still bigger. And Facebook is growing faster than Google is growing. Google is still growing and is still way bigger. We also said that... I don't understand what that note was. We said, okay, I got it. We said Google I/O will focus on Google only products, that they were going to completely cut out anything from the rest of Alphabet. We weren't going to get any cool Project X things. We weren't going to get any, like, because years past, this Google I/O would be this wandering but interesting exhibit of all of their different science projects.
Yeah.
And that's not what it was this year. It was just, these are the products that Google is pushing forward that are ready to release. We said that was going to happen. That's exactly what happened. That felt good.
They needed that because makes sense. Because they had a few years where it's like, it felt like CES. They'd tell you about all these cool things and then it wouldn't happen.
Right, yeah.
What the heck? And you just don't take it as seriously when that happens. And so I feel like they needed that win.
Yeah. It was boring, but it was, every product they talked about has either come out or is about to come out. Google Wear, we said the focus would be on cellular. We thought that was going to be a big thing. I think we just misunderstood what the rest of the market was going to do. In response to too. Yeah,
I think they felt like they would just put it out there and developers and OEMs would make it happen.
Yeah,
and that just turned out not to be true.
Great hardware that could compete with the Apple Watch would come out, and that, because I think a lot of people also felt like the Apple Watch wasn't going to be that big of a deal. It wasn't going to make that much money, and so that's the OEMs did. They were like, yeah, it's a small niche product category, but it's not that big of a deal. And I think they still feel like that. And
I think Google disagrees, though.
I know. I think
it's got to be one of those things where Apple goes, yeah, you know what? You're right. It's only a couple billion dollars each year.
Yep. And I still think that I've been saying since day one, the reason people say, well, I wouldn't want an Apple Watch, my phone will tell me the time. Sort of this symbolic thing of, it's a redundant device. Why do I need it on the watch? And I still say that the original watch tells us what's going to happen. Why do we go from pocket watches to wrist watches? Because it's better. It's what we do. And it's why we did it. And even though the utility is not, will never be as much utility as a full-sized smartphone, I think that there are things that if you live in a world where you either have a tablet or a full-blown computer and an Apple Watch, a smartwatch that's connected to the internet, I think Google steps back and says, yeah, that's potentially one of the places we go after Android, after, you know, smartphones. I think these
are. You'll be happy to know I was reading an article that didn't quite say it the way you say it, but essentially he was saying eventually watches will be cellular, they'll be smarter, more connected to the cloud, they're like, and the trend is for the screens in our pockets to be getting bigger and bigger because you don't pull them out as often and you're using them for more special, you know. I know, I was like, wow, that's like exactly what Matthew's saying. Other people are starting to go like, maybe this is a thing.
Yeah, and if you remember correctly, I was saying that for quite a while until earlier this year, Johnny Ives himself confirmed that that is the philosophy under which they're looking at the iPhone, and he used the pocket watch to wristwatch analogy. So I was like, oh, I feel so smart. and I think Google sees that, and that they see that there is going to be a post-smartphone world, and they want to make sure that Android is ready for any device that encompasses, whether it's goggles or glasses or AR or wristwatches or shoes or whatever.
Man, I would love to predict next week that they're going to have round two of Google goggles, but given the state of Nest, I just don't see it happening. But
yeah.
Which is sad.
We did say that they'd come out with a new Google Glass. I said they'd come out with a new Google Glass. James said
we did, huh?
James said they wouldn't this last year.
Which I was nailed right.
It. I know. We said they'd come out with new Nexus devices and that they would be the best version of the Android ecosystem. And you know what?
This is one of those moments where you squint.
Yeah, this is I'm gonna twist my way into saying, yeah, they came out with
rose,
new hardware.
Not named Rose. Does it smell just as sweet?
Exactly.
Something like that.
Exactly. We said that they're gonna combine Android and Chrome into one thing where you could do Chrome OS specifically. They didn't.
Combine Teams.
I'd say they combined Teams. They made Android apps that can now natively execute on Chrome OS. They did a lot of the combining, but they're keeping them separate for now. So
that's very true.
I'll give that prediction a C. and it was about at this point in the show, we were like an hour and a half in, and all of a sudden I went, oh, I know what they're going to do this year. And you're like, what? And I said, they're going to build Android VR. They're going to build a VR platform specifically for VR hardware. That's obviously what, just out of the blue. All of a sudden I was like,
wow,
I think it's what they're going to do. So the fact that Daydream became this like
dude,
keystone part.
That's amazing.
I know. I felt really good about that. I felt really good about that.
How did you do that? That's amazing.
I don't know. I was just pluck that one out of thin air.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
We need to remember these predictions.
I know. I also said that they would build their own custom silicon. They'd build a chip. You said they wouldn't.
I was right.
No. They built the TensorFlow chips, and they're manufacturing them. Those are custom Google designs. And I even specifically said they wouldn't be full-blown CPUs. It'd be some specialized chips. I said exactly what they were going to do. The only thing I didn't know is that it would be for AI, but I knew the category. I knew they wanted to design their own silicon. and that was something they were working on. And this was their first foray into it. We also predicted that Google Calendar would get deleted. That was a tongue-in-cheek reference to all of the times that they had killed instrumental products. We immediately followed that up by actually saying that we thought they were done with spring cleaning. That part of the whole move to break Google out of Alphabet was that when things got boring, they wouldn't just come in and try to overturn these really important tenets of their product lineup, like Gmail, Larry Page. And that the reason why they did what they did was to put somebody in charge of Google and the product lineup who wouldn't just get bored and who would be consistent and keep the money train going and not disrupt the boat too much, and let Larry Page, who is very bored of Google and what it does, do his fun save the world experiments, and be, you know, Elon Musk-esque in that everything that he focuses on are, you know, fixing humanity kind of style problems.
Did you see his tweet this week?
No.
Oh my gosh, Elon Musk is amazing. He was tweeting out about the Model X car, and I was like, hey, after you do the software update for your car, which, like, amazing, he goes, hit the T button, and then type in either Happy Holiday or Model Xmas, and he goes, and it will have a little Easter egg for you there. And he goes, oh yeah,
and Mars. And Mars.
Sorry, here's a tweet, which is kind of awesome. But anyways, if you did that, it played like a Christmas rock song, and the car lights would light up, and the doors would open and close, and flashing out of it. I was like, wow, that's super awesome.
That's great.
Just brilliant from a marketing standpoint. And the fact that they're like, yeah, let's take the time to engineer that. That sounds like fun. But I just love the and Mars.
Yeah. Just get excited. We also said Google Plus would stay the way it is as it in its current form. That they'd broken out Photos, they'd broken out Hangouts, they'd broken out. They weren't going to kill Google Plus. They were done with the trimming, and they had done what they wanted to do, which was they had a bunch of separate services, a bunch of separate databases, which is a bunch of separate logins. They combined all those things together. They now knew everything they wanted to know about you from all their different services. And so the disassembling of Google Plus was okay to do because it had already accomplished its goal.
There was a little more neutering involved, but it's essentially.
Yeah. And then, yeah, but it's essentially still, we were asking the question, does Google Plus get cut this year completely? And it didn't.
No.
And,
now it's an interest graph.
Yeah, whatever. Exactly. Exactly. I said something, no new hardware from Google directly, but partners.
Oops.
No, I don't think that was, I think there was more nuance there, and I think I just wrote that down wrong.
Because there was definitely hardware from Google.
Yeah, I know. Maybe that was what we were talking about specifically, but we weren't talking about, I don't know. It's weird, because we'd already said the new Nexus device. And then we also said, we also predicted that there'd be a large-scale demo of self-driving cars. I'd predicted it, and I said it would be something like Disney, like you could set them up in Disney and have Disney drive them all around, where like the public could use it. You were like, no, they definitely won't do that. I was like, but why? And this is where we had our actual conversation about where I was like, why are you such a Debbie Downer about Google this year? And how can they become the biggest company on earth or the most valuable company on earth if they're not doing anything cool? And you're like, because it's just what happens sometimes, Matthew. It's just what happens. So once again, your pessimism last year, I think, helped win us in Google too. You were way more. You tended to be more accurate in Google, and it was because of your.
Dude, I feel like that VR just plucked out of the thin air.
That was pretty
amazing.
That was pretty great.
Those were like bonus points right there.
I know. I did also, I actually did say that they would come out with a Project Tango phone. You had to have me remind you what Project Tango was. The fact that they did come out with a Project Tango phone, I was happy to see. Not just because I thought I was glad to be right, but because I was glad to see it. We also said that they would expand their focus on 360 video.
Definitely.
Yeah. Which they did. Then we sort of broke into this VR conversation. And, yeah. So, and what would happen with VR? Number one, we said Oculus would launch. The hand controllers won't launch right away. They'll come out way later in the year. I think we already knew that was going to happen. So probably. That wasn't really a prediction, because that's kind of an obscure one to be like, we know the hardware dilemmas that they're having internally in the company. That's a weird one to predict. But we said it. We then had a conversation about how Kevin Rose was an idiot. Still is. And
though he's figured out that newsletters are back, so I don't know. Geez. He's a little slow to the game.
Are you sure? Because I'm starting to come around to. At the time, I was making fun of him for what happened with Dig and just the things that he was saying. Because he was talking about how VR wasn't going to be a thing, but he also was like backing some other like company that was focused on something else that was going to be like a direct competitor. And you're like, dude, like you don't get to say this. You have financial stakes in them not succeeding. we said that Sony would clean the floor in VR sales, that they would outsell everybody else because they'd be the cheapest. And I
don't know sales numbers, but they're doing pretty well.
Oh, they're crushing everybody else.
There you go.
Because they talked sales two months ago, and they're like, yeah, we're selling way more than we thought we'd sell, which is the second time in this generation that that's happened. They've sold more PlayStation 4s than they thought they were going to sell. They sold more PlayStation Pros than they thought they were going to sell. They sold more PSVRs than they thought they were going to sell. At some point, PlayStation or Sony's going to have to take a step back and think, what is going on with this category? Honestly. Yeah, we've done something. I'm not sure what, but maybe we should revise our numbers. Yeah, we said that all VR launch dates would happen while at CES. I was really excited for Sony to give us a launch date because I had already kind of bought into the fact that was going to be the one I was going to get. They did not come out with a launch date.
They did not.
Okay, it killed me. They took a long time. I started to get worried it wouldn't launch in 2016, later in the year. I said that the Sony VR will cost $400, maybe $500 for the whole setup was my predicted cost. It does cost $400 and $500 for the whole setup. they hadn't even mentioned the price. That was just my gut. I said that the Oculus would be $500, $100 more expensive than Sony would be my big thing for the headset, and a computer that would run it would be about $800.
Wow, not bad.
Yeah, so it ended up being $600, which is $100 more expensive than the whole setup from Sony, and
the computer ended up being $1,000 minimum.
I mean, by the end of the year, $800 ones are running it. So I felt pretty good about that. And then I said the HTC will price themselves out of the market, that they'd be around $750. And it would do the worst as a result because it would be the most expensive. It cost $800. Nobody was predicting the price at the time. You actually predicted that it would cost $250 because they would race to the bottom. I said, no. I explained why no, and then you came around to my side at the end of it, and you agreed. But I think the really unexpected thing here that I didn't understand, and I think Oculus didn't understand, because I think Oculus has done the worst this year, and I think the reason why is because them not having the hand components was a big deal. Turned out all three had really crossed the minimum barrier for fun VR and having a good experience with it from a visuals perspective. It was the other stuff. It was the headphones. It was the hand gear. It was the peripherals that really mattered. And it was a thing that both Sony and HTC were very good at and had already locked down. And Oculus was just new to that party.
That's weird. Like, how do you not notice that? I don't know.
I think they were so excited about VR that and peripherals were such a were to them they were just like VR is such a mind blowing experience. People won't even think about the peripherals. Whereas HTC and Sony came at it and said, we don't even have to think about the peripherals because we're so good at this sort of stuff. We'll just build them. It's fine.
Yeah, especially with Sony.
Yeah,
yeah,
and yeah. So I think that they. I think it was just a. It was a manufacturing.
Part of it's a competency.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Well, Sony's thinking video games, right? Like there will be controllers.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And I think they had working prototypes way earlier to deal with for things that they could actually play with, and they realized, hey, you know, it'd be great to be able to see the controller, the gamepad in VR. We should give them this option. And so they knew that was coming and were just like, because they could actually play with it and said, hey, that'd be great. Whereas by the time Oculus realized that, hey, this would be great, they're already about to launch. And they're like, what do we do? and yeah, so I think that's what we saw happen there. But yeah, I got killed. I crushed it with the prices on that one. I've been paying attention.
Seriously, you admin.
So Facebook, we said that paper was going away. Big, big sad face. Real big sad face.
We were right.
Yeah. We were definitely right on that.
It still hurts.
I know. We did say that.
I still open a Facebook app and just go, hmm.
I know. We did say that one of the biggest features of it was the broken up like news feed thing, and that would be coming to Facebook. It did come to the Facebook in the form of trending stories,
which they broke.
Yeah, there was a bit of unpredictability with the election coming that we were like, oh, they kind of. It is so much worse that every cool part of paper is now gone, which is
the instant articles thing.
Yeah, it stayed.
That transferred
You're
over.
You're right.
And that, but that was about it.
Yeah. Which was the least exciting part of it to me. As somebody with unlimited high-speed internet. James said that they should get into enterprise. This is the year for them to make a real serious move into enterprise communication and productivity. They launched workplace.fb.com, so killed it.
I don't know about killed it. I feel like they launched it.
Oh yeah,
and like checked the box and went, okay, we did that. Now we can move on. And I don't think they actually made a push into it. If that makes sense.
Okay, that's
not
fair.
The same way that like Google's making a push into it, or you know, or how Microsoft is like tripling down on it. So
okay.
Technically, yeah, sure, I'll take the win, but I also don't feel like they gave it their all.
I hear you. We did say that most of their development time and most of their excitement over the next year was going to be with messaging apps, specifically Messenger and WhatsApp, their messaging apps, and that all of their all their high-end, like high-powered development would go into that. We didn't really know what that would look like, but we just knew that was where they were going
to
put their
time. I'm serious. I listen to some of these and I go, really? We said that?
I know. I'm like,
that's amazing.
I characterize these a little bit and like clear it up because it's a conversation and we kind of change our mind as time goes on.
Yeah.
But it sometimes is amazing. Like the conclusion that we get to the end of the conversation and we're like, yeah, I think that's what's going to happen. And then we move on and I'm always like, dude, that happened. Late. Some of this stuff happens late in the year.
I get super nervous because I don't really do any research walking into the prediction show.
I know.
I just kind of gut feel it.
I know. It's so weird.
Holy cow.
I know. It's just, oh my gosh.
That was like all they focused on. Wow, that's amazing.
I know. We said that Amazon this year would have two important products.
Okay.
They would have Amazon Prime and they would have AWS, which is why I brought up that article at the beginning of the show. Because...
AWS.
AWS.
I would argue there was a third one. We missed it, but... Okay. I'll wait.
Because we talked about AI-focused web services.
Oh, did we?
Yeah, and we said that was the other thing. And we kind of wrapped it all together as these, like, Amazon Prime, AWS... These things, these two different giant cipher platforms were going to come together and they were going to be focusing on bringing those to different platforms. This was right before the CES where the one of the big things out of CES was how Amazon just cast a giant shadow over everything. They weren't there, and yet everybody was talking about how do you get Alexa into your products? How do you get into Amazon Web Services and use their AI? And we were kind of tapping into that. I think Echo became a much more popular product than, well, obviously, than we had realized at the time as a piece of hardware.
Anybody.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, which, by the way, I've had family over this weekend.
Yeah.
And you and I, we talked about this, actually. I think we talked about it offline. You asked me, you're like, hey, would you ever get a Google Home?
Yeah. I'll right? tell you what, James.
Which was...
These are related conversations, even though they don't feel like it.
But... Okay. But anyways, you asked me if I wanted a Google Home.
Yeah.
And, you know, because we'd done the review, we did the giveaway, and things like that. And I, at the end of the day, I was like, well, no, for two reasons.
Yeah.
The first one is I'm clearly heavily invested in Apple, despite my pessimism towards them. And then second, I was like, I have my watch, and I can bark commands right on my watch, and so I don't necessarily need that other stuff. Having people over visiting, that completely changes the equation. Yeah. There are multiple times where I even had one where my mom was like, okay, I need to set a timer for 10 minutes. And I'm like, dude, like, you could have been like, Alexa, set a timer for 10 minutes.
Yep.
And it wouldn't have just been me ringing. It would have been everybody.
Yeah.
And there was times where it's like, you want music playing, or someone asks a question, or I'm just like, oh, jeez.
It kills me that Apple hasn't launched one of these things yet. A year later, it's just... They're so slow on everything.
It wasn't obvious until I had people over, though. And then the second that happened, I went, you know what? This is a perfect use case for something like this.
I mailed.
And I would probably use it every day.
I boxed up the Google Home the morning of my annual eggnog party, and it was just shocking how much my room had gone from an interactive room to a non-interactive room in an instant. And it was like... Wow, I really feel like I'm missing something here. It's a pretty big deal.
So I get the popularity.
Yeah,
behind them.
We did say that there would be no drone deliveries this year, which disappointed that we were right about that. But we were right about that, and we also
did a beta. They delivered a burrito to themselves, but it was all themselves.
Yay! We also said that.
No, I'm sorry. That was Google. Yeah, Amazon didn't do.
Yeah, no, they didn't do anything. Delivery. They've done some testing in other countries that are a little less uptight than us.
Cautious.
Yeah. We did say that there was a potentially big media purchase in their.
When did he buy the WAPO?
Well, the year before. When did he buy WAPO?
I'll look it up.
Okay. I think what we were tapping into here, this is me contorting myself into giving us a C on this one. What we were saying here really was that entertainment was going to be a really big deal for them this year.
Oh my gosh, like 2013.
That's what I was going to, I thought it was a long time ago.
Forever ago.
And you say, but what we were tapping into here was the idea that media was going to be a really big deal for them, and they wanted to continue to expand it. The fact that they're going to have an Oscar-nominated movie this year, I think is a testament to the fact that we were right in principle, wrong in the particular prediction. Yeah.
Yeah, they just
media
did it themselves instead of buying it.
Exactly. Which, what we were saying is we didn't think they could do it themselves. And what they said was, you're wrong. I'm Jeff Bezos. Go away.
Go away.
And by the way,
I like Amazon.
It's a great movie, but it is a sad movie. So that was Amazon. We were optimistic on them. And the reason why we talked about those four companies first is because we talked about them as the four horsemen of the four horsemen of tech. They're the big dogs: Facebook, Google, Apple, and Amazon. And we talked about how there could be a fifth up and coming, and we were feeling good. The momentum was shifting in their favor, and we moved on to Microsoft.
Snapchat. Oh.
Snapchat did better than I wanted them to this year, I'll tell you that. So we said there would be no HoloLens launch. It would launch in 2017.
Oops.
Yeah, so didn't launch, but you can buy them, so... And oops. James said, you predicted you would switch to Windows 10 this year, personally, for work.
I did not.
You actually then followed it up by saying, I probably won't, but I really want to. I think we should.
And that's true.
Yep. I said,
they're talking about it. They have told us it will be happening at some point in time.
Okay, all right. But, nice. Yeah. I think you might have said that last year, too.
Actually, how about this? Yeah, probably. How about this for interesting? In January, HP is finally getting rid of our landline phones at each of our desks.
Wow.
Welcome to the future. I haven't used it for like 2 years. I have it plugged in, stuffed in my cabinet, my storage cabinet.
Yeah.
And I was like, huh, I have to figure out how to get this out. Because I kind of like really worked the line around.
She wouldn't out the way. That's funny. We said, I said that Microsoft would. I'm so ashamed of this one. I said that Microsoft would make a giant push in mobile. That,
ooh.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Ooh. And it was like, they did push. It was a different direction.
It was like months later. It was like 2 months later that they announced, yeah, we're completely done with building phones. We're not even going to try.
Oh.
You, on the other hand, your pessimism won the day again. You're like, no, yes. They're not even going to. No, they're done with mobile. They're not going to have a watch. They're not going to have a band. They're going to focus on tablets and computers.
That's wow.
It. So I was like,
James, that's so boring.
Yeah. We said that the Xbox and Oculus will work together by the end of the year, and it would be a primary use case for the Oculus.
Also true. I don't know about primary, but it's use definitely case. A selling point.
Exactly. I think
it's too bad not enough people own Xbox.
Yeah, right. I think
that's the real issue.
Yeah, exactly. What we were talking about there, especially, is the fact that there was definitely a relationship between Microsoft and Oculus that was unlike any of the other companies. Specifically saying they weren't going to be that friendly with Apple.
Surprise.
Right. We both said that Microsoft would be doing pretty great by the end of the year. We also said they were going to get way more into AI, and that was going to be a giant focus around Cortana. We emphasized this a lot. It took about 6 months, but yeah, they came out with all their platforms. They talked about how AI was super important. They jumped into the FPGA as a giant selling point of their server farms. We did it. other than that phone push, we actually did really well on Microsoft. I'm so embarrassed.
Yeah, the roadmap's pretty straightforward at this point.
Yeah.
Of course, I feel like now they've got their feet under them, so next year will be interesting.
Exactly. Uber. We talked about how...
We talked about Uber, huh?
We did talk about Uber. We said that... At the time, we said that the Uber CEO is like Larry Page's evil brother.
That's awesome.
I know. When we went into this like weird talk about about the different CEOs... We came up with this like scenario where we'd play Monopoly with each of the CEOs. We said that Mark Zuckerberg would win. He wouldn't cheat. He wouldn't do anything weird. He'd just win, and he'd feel really weird about it. Like he'd just be like, "I'm not sure what happened there. I'm pretty sure he didn't cheat, but he won." We said that the Uber CEO, he'd just cheat. just unashamed, he'd cheat. We said Larry Page.
This is so true.
We said that Larry Page would describe Microsoft, or would describe Monopoly as a solved problem and say, hey, want to go build a rocket instead?
Yes.
this is awesome. We said Tim Cook would just be a lot of fun to play with. He'd be enjoyable. Which I'm like, yeah, sounds about right. And then we said, this is my favorite one. You said, Bezos would charge you $5 every roll, but he would never charge you rent.
Oh, dude, that's a fun thought experiment.
I know. I feel like we should do that every year.
I love that. I'm thinking of new people, you know? That's the Snap CEO.
Evan Spiegel.
Just like... I just wouldn't. He would be no fun to play with.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Monopoly's
a dumb game.
Yeah,
I choose not. I don't play Monopoly.
I just want to fight him.
Everyone plays Monopoly.
There'd be this really weird, like me just seething in the corner, just like looking at him all angrily, and be like, "What? Who is this person?"
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
I know. I enjoyed that.
That's so funny, and it's so true. Oh my gosh, especially given the Uber story at the end of the year.
I know. We're just like, we so killed it with this like idea of like, yeah, they're a company that just cheats to win. Like they get,
yeah,
they'll just break the rules, whatever, it's fine. See what that's we can get away with. I know. We were like, we had nailed the Uber CEO. The thing was, we said two things. Number one, they wouldn't IPO in 2016.
They didn't.
And we also said that there would be another company based around Uber that would be raising money, if not making money, and that Uber would be a platform. And that is one of the defining characteristics of the other horsemen, is that they're not companies that make money on their own, that they're not just companies that make money. They're companies that help other companies make money. And in order for Uber to really do that, in order to step into the next echelon of important tech companies, they have to make that transition as a company that helps other companies make money. And that happens. Yeah. There are all sorts of different...
Ah, wow, we said that? Wow, man, we were smart back then.
I know, right? It's I get so,
makes a lot of sense.
I get so worried every year.
I know.
What are we supposed to do? We're like, how are we going to beat this? Like, I don't know what's going to happen next year. How did I know it was going to happen in 2016? Like, what happened in the last year? How did I become so dumb?
Please tell me we did movie predictions at the very end of the show.
Oh, yeah. And we
did?
We did.
Oh, we did.
And we did great.
Yes.
so then we. So awesome. So at that point, we moved into tier two companies. These are all.
So we put Uber as a tier one, huh?
Well, you said that was you said it was a transition year, that they were a tier two company who would be moving to a tier one company, which
I don't think they quite made it.
I don't think they quite made it. But they made huge strides in that direction this year. I think they're continuing to move. I think the fact that their CEO is clearly a criminal and a cheater works against them. And makes them more toxic for other companies to want to rely on them, and that's going to stymie them. It stymied them worse this year than we realized it would have.
Makes me think about predictions.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tier two companies. We said that the best thing for the best thing that could possibly happen for three companies, specifically Twitter, Snapchat, and Medium, was that the election was this year. That it was really going to help those three companies. And
I did not realize how much that would help Twitter.
Yeah.
Well, that's debatable. I mean, clearly got a lot of attention from a singular individual.
Who was already in the race at that point.
Them.
I know. That's what's so weird about it to me is it's like, that kind of yes, kind of no. I don't know. I mean, they all made money off of it because everybody was advertising on Twitter. True. But it's not like it changed their status or their platform.
But that's the thing, right? It's one thing to make a lot of money. It's another to change your status.
Yeah.
Your perception and culture.
Yeah.
And I don't think it made any strides there.
I think it helped.
Matter of fact, I think it went backwards.
I think Snapchat, it did help them because I think it legitimized them as a news source in a lot of ways.
Okay.
But Twitter already had that. I
stopped using Snapchat, so yeah, I'm not up on it anymore.
I think Snapchat and Medium were both helped as being like Medium was the platform for bloggers. Snapchat was legitimized as a place where people could get news from real candidates. Like it helped them. I think it helped it, like you said, I don't think it helped Twitter as much as they would have liked. I think it made them controversial, which was being polarizing can be good to a degree. But
well, it's weird where it's like Facebook and Google got all into the whole fake news thing, and Twitter was not at all. And I don't think it's because Twitter had better filters. It's just people don't care.
You know what's funny? I think, but they were huge into the like the banning people and like and the hate speech thing. Like they were really there was a lot of controversy around Twitter and the election and just different conversations that were going on. Yeah, we said that Twitter and Medium would continue to get better this year, just adding more features and really beefing it up.
Medium killed it this year.
Medium killed it this year. Twitter did. They added the NFL, which was pretty good. And we talked about the idea of Twitter wanting to be like a, did we talk about this specifically or am I making stuff up? I think I might be.
We talked about it eventually, but I don't know about
it. I don't think we did talk about it on the show. We did specifically say that Tumblr would continue to decline. Yeah. Which, yeah, I'd say that happened.
Tumblr?
We'll get back to Yahoo. You were really excited about Slack. You said Slack will be as big as Uber in the future. Not necessarily this year, but just in the future. Matthew predicted he would
still think that.
Yeah, I predicted that I would learn what the deal with Slack is this year. Which I did. I figured it out. I'm proud of myself. Yeah, you know, it was one of those things where, yeah, it was just a company that was important and would be growing. And I think the very fact that we had our conversation about them being morons with Microsoft late in the year is a testament to how big of a company and how big of a deal they've become in the last year. Yeah. The fact that they could put out that article and anybody would give it any space to breathe is a testament to how big they've and how important they've become in that space. This is the big prediction for our tier two company of HPI.
HPI. I work for tier two
company. I know. With tens of thousands of employees. You said they'd be launching an amazing 3D printer, but we wouldn't hear or see any of the results of it.
Oh, that happened.
Yeah, I know. Just like, that was like, and that was the biggest,
that hurts.
I know. That sums up HPI's year this year. One line. Sorry about that.
We did.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. I feel so bad about that one because I'm just like, wow, that's, James predicted that Bitcoin would die this year, that it was the end of Bitcoin. Once again, your pessimism won the day. I think as a topic,
it's not quite dead yet, but it's on its way.
What we did say is we said that the blockchain was a huge deal and it would continue to be a huge deal. That core technology of actually how they keep track of the Bitcoin.
And we're starting to see that.
And we are. And I think that's the only reason why blockchain or why Bitcoin base brought up anymore is because it's, you know, the currency hasn't completely collapsed, but we talked about the idea that there's two types of people that get really excited about Bitcoin as a currency. It's people who are completely there's completely like security and privacy minded, and they're conspiracy theorists to a degree, and then criminals. And the fact of the matter is you can't build an entire platform around those two groups of people, and so they haven't. I said that sometimes being the first follower is way more advantageous than being the leader. I still think that the next cryptocurrency will be the big one. I didn't predict it would happen this year. I just said it would. Yeah, that was my explanation for why Bitcoin would stumble.
Man, I think you're still right.
Yep, I appreciate that. Yahoo, they'll part out the company in an attempt to try to get it sold. We said that Marissa Mayer wouldn't be the CEO by the end of the year because they will have sold it. She is the CEO. They did sell it to Verizon. That probably is going to backfire.
Yeah.
Verizon is desperately trying to back out of that deal.
She's definitely a dead CEO walking at this point.
I think in the general trajectory of we understood what they were trying to do, what their goal for 2016 was. I think that they had some roadblocks in the form of massive data breaches that have...
Is that what we call that now, a roadblock?
Yeah, right. in that the company is so incredibly toxic that Verizon wants to get out of the really meager, pathetic deal that they set up anyways. Yahoo. Good job, Marissa. You seem like an okay person.
Wow.
We said things were looking up for Samsung. that it couldn't get worse than 2015 for them.
Wow. <I know.
laughs> He was like, you were pessimistic about everything. And your one sunray shine of optimism at the end of the episode Samsung. Things are looking up for Samsung. I will say this. If it weren't for the fact that those phones exploded, I actually think that that would have been an accurate prediction. I said that their components and devices would continue to grow, and specifically because their phones were really languishing. I said that their mobile would keep getting
They have a whole new line refresh next year, so yep. That's good.
I said that their mobile. I did say that their mobile platform would continue to their mobile device portfolio would continue to get worsened. And it would and it would be because other people were eating their lunch. I did not quite predict how aggressive that would be. I did not predict why that would be. That was the trend that we were heading towards already, was that they weren't consolidating.
Yeah, anymore. We were talking about them. They're sitting in this middle space, and it's not working out for them.
Yeah, and
they blew up the whole model.
Exactly. That being said, their components and devices did continue to just grow astoundingly, and is doing great as a company.
Which is why they're still in business despite what happened.
Exactly. I think we crushed it for Samsung. And then we talked about Intel and kind of wrapping up our tier two companies. Specifically, we said that they were going to focus on systems on a chip for the Internet of Things, and that was going to be their big goal. They announced a couple of chips that were specialized for computer vision, and they were designed to work in tangent with all of their Internet of Things devices. that's what happened. That's pretty good. Did we talk about, where did I put this? We did talk about, we definitely talked about the fact that there'd be a lot more evidence of the end of Moore's Law, which like a repeating theme this year of how Moore's Law is dead. It's over. It was fun. The every 60 or every 18 months we double or have the size of the transistor did not continue and will never continue again. We also said that I said that this would be the first year where we'd see an example of quantum acceleration, which is when quantum computers take that big step and really do something special. We got so close. We actually got really close. It just didn't happen this year. Maybe I shouldn't predict big scientific breakthroughs, because sometimes those don't happen when you want them to. But the roadmap for scientific discovery is a little bit different than iPhones. Okay, that's all I'm going to say.
We didn't discover it this year. Sorry,
We thought we were. We talked about music as kind of a giant category, what the direction was going to be there. And we said exclusive content was going to be the name of the game. But that's what both Spotify and Apple were going to be really, really focused in. And turns out that's exactly what everybody worked on this year. Everybody's,
both of them are growing like crazy.
Yeah.
So,
and I think the nuance to that I didn't see was that it turns out the exclusives aren't permanent exclusives. They're launch exclusives. Which I'm actually glad to see, because I hate the idea of, you know, you have to, because I don't want to have two services to get artists. I don't mind having to wait 6 months to listen to Taylor Swift's new album or whatever, especially because Apple's doing a better job of getting launch exclusives. And they're who I'm in. They're the bandwagon I'm on right now. So, we killed it. We said Elon Musk, he would launch a rocket and he would land it.
Did that.
And we also said that it would change the world.
In progress.
You know what I really like about Elon Musk is the fact that every other person thing we've talked about companies. We don't talk about companies with Elon Musk. We talk about Elon Musk. He's like his own thing.
He is his own
thing. I know, it's great. I love it. He's Iron Man. We talked a little bit about the Internet of Things and kind of what that would look like. We said more stuff with more connections. It would be awesome. It'd be incredible. It'd be really cool to see, but kind of meaningless. Nobody would really see the any more resolution on the picture of what all this would look like. There wouldn't be this like defining moment for the Internet of Things where people would go, "Oh, I get it now."
Which I guess for me, it's on one hand, yes, very much so, especially trying to do a lot of them and how they're kind of disconnected and it's a little weird. But on the other hand, depending on how you define the Amazon Echo and Google Home, I feel like that's at least a spark of people going, oh, okay, that's an Internet of Thing connector.
Right.
That's a gateway. And I think people are getting used to that. And once you like, oh, I can ask Google questions and it'll give me answers, or Alexa, you very quickly go, well, what else can it do?
It's amazing.
And that's where you start to go, oh, really? Lights, locks, huh?
It's amazing how many conversations I've overheard in the last couple of weeks going to parties and stuff where people have talked about it. And people not talking to me, talking to other people, like just normal people talking to each other.
So I think in that sense, I think that is it.
Yeah.
I think it'll be interesting to see where 17 goes, but I think we're just starting to see it.
And I also think that there's this other sweet, yeah. I don't want to get too into the predictions game because I think for me, and maybe I'm just an idiot and slow on the uptake and the entire industry has realized this, but I think that computer vision and like really computer vision powered by AI, yeah, machine learning.
Yeah, we were talking about this a couple weeks
ago. Completely changes what the Internet of Things looks like and how it works. Mm-hmm. So, those two technologies together are going to be a big deal. And then we talked about the other big like area of the Internet of Things that we focus on for a little bit was health and fitness. And then I immediately launched into talking about the GoPro drone. GoPro drone would be a giant deal, and it would be really important. I said DJI would keep being
so they could stay in the air. Oops.
And you know what? Honestly, the GoPro drone was a really big deal right up until people tried to fly it, which was most of the year.
That's a testament as to why it's a big deal. It didn't work and we all care.
Yeah, exactly. DJI, we said, would be just continue to be a dominant factor in.
Oh my gosh, I want a drone so bad. I can't stand it.
You're almost there.
I'm like, literally, I had the thought of, I kid you not, I was like, huh, kid born in December, $2,000 tax credit.
That's awesome.
My thoughts were, I could buy this, I want to get a new front door that actually is mostly glass for my dog so he can see who's coming and going because he just gets freaked out over it. Then I don't like the door we have anyways. But, so there's that, and I'm like, I still have money left over to get a drone.
That's awesome. One of the things you immediately called me out on, though, you're like, dude, you just said health and fitness and then talked about cameras and drones. And I made a comment that I think was prescient at the time and continues to be something to keep in mind as we go forward. It was this idea that health and fitness is all about is for people who are active. Whether you're talking fitness trackers, health devices, GoPros, or DJIs, they're about things that people want to go outside. It's about healthy people who are healthy, doing healthy things, having healthy lives, taking pictures of their healthy bodies. Like, you know, it's this that
sounds weird, but yes, I'm with you.
Yes. and that's where health tech goes. And I think as we look into the Internet of Things,
not just necessarily tracking, but enabling you to do more fun things.
Right. Well, and more importantly, that healthy people or unhealthy people don't actually want to use these things. People that are unhealthy don't want fitness trackers because it reminds them that they're unhealthy. Mm-hmm. It doesn't change behavior. It just compounds it in whichever direction. So,
yeah, I don't run that often. And the Nike app likes to say, hey, you should think about running today. Like, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, thanks, Nike.
I'm busy.
Yeah, exactly. So then,
but I could see where like that could get annoying, and I'm sure eventually it will, and I'll turn the notification on.
Yeah. I'm about ready to yell at it to stop telling me to breathe.
Oh my gosh.
I don't want to breathe. I want to be angry. Leave me alone.
I'm all on board on the standing up. That one's cool. I like that one. I'll even have times where I'm in the middle of something and I'll be like, dude, it's time to stand. I'm like, I don't want to.
You know what?
Okay, whatever. I'll do it. I stand and I get done with a minute and I go, you know what? I'm glad I did that.
You know what? I
never feel that way when I breathe.
I love the standing thing because it almost never reminds me. Because it only reminds
you stand most of the time.
Yeah, like I said, I stand enough that if I'm ever in a position where it reminds me, it's basically saying, hey, it's late in the day and you've already been sitting for quite a few hours. I'm like, oh my gosh. Yeah. It's like mine won't go off during, you know, and yeah, so I like it, but it's because I'm active.
Yeah.
Like it actually reminds me that something's wrong as opposed to constantly pestering me to do something that I don't want to do. Power and batteries. We talked about what that would kind of look like. Obviously, we said more phones would get the quick charge tech, and that would be a big deal. We said Apple won't. We said that we threw this one in kind of at the end as a throwaway. AI will be the new buzzword that everybody will be throwing around this year.
Oh, my God.
I know. I was just like, I'm sure glad we snuck that one in under the wire because I feel like if we hadn't really said that word, that would have been like a, you know.
We're doing a presentation at work, and we're talking about our goals for the next year, like what we're going to be doing, and we're going to be giving it to our manager. And I told the team, I was like, we need to figure out how to use either artificial intelligence or machine learning somewhere in here. I'm like, I don't even care if it's not actually true.
Yeah.
But these are the buzzwords. We need to put them in here. We will get a better review if we somehow use these words.
Yeah.
And they're like, and they laugh like that. I'm like, no, I'm serious. Yeah. This is a thing.
I'm dead serious. Yeah, this is how you get branding points with your bosses. Yeah.
Because then they will tell their bosses. And then I go, the downside is then we'll have the focus on us. And there will be people who make fun of us. Just like I make fun of this other group because they use the word big data. And it's not big data, but that's the word they use. And I'm like, but you're not. Like, but we are. I'm like, no, you're not. Here's the definition of big data. That's not what you do. You're more data. You're not big data. And there's a difference.
Yeah. An important difference. That's really funny.
Yeah.
So, so that was all the tech stuff. We moved into the movies.
Wow.
How long have we been talking?
Dude, that's awesome.
How deep are we into the show?
I don't know. We're at an hour and a half-ish.
Okay.
135. We're good.
So let me do this. Let me just say...
that was amazing.
I know.
Dude! I don't know. I just had a kid. What next? I'm getting nervous for next year already. Dude, we killed it. Why would you give a collective A, huh? Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah,
individually, perhaps a C.
Individually, we didn't.
But this is a group
say,
score.
But like, that was gonna say
never.
But I'm gonna go ahead and say that was an uncurved A. Like that was we killed it last year, and I got done thinking we were gonna be terrible because you were so pessimistic and angry, and you had no imagination and didn't want to have fun. So obviously, you were gonna be wrong, and you ended up being right so often.
A lot of people have said FY16 or 2016 worst year ever.
Yeah.
That was wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Oh, this is so interesting.
Yeah, I know. So I'm reading through. I just as sort of a reminder of things that happened this last year. Messaging bots kind of were deployed, but kind of fell on deaf ears, which I think is interesting. I think it's just the beginning. People aren't really ready for it, and it'll be coming. We said that, we talked a lot about how Apple didn't want to, Apple defended encrypted iPhones this year, and it was amazing how much the conversation they changed about encryption and that sort of thing. It was a really big deal this year for them, about privacy and encryption and the like.
Yeah.
Samsung started out the year with some great hardware being deployed, was a note that I took from the early months. Magically, who we did not talk about at all in our predictions, I have talked about a bit because they're a dumb company, and I really dislike them because they're so dumb. And
I feel like Snap should acquire Magically.
That would make me so happy. Yeah, it just was a real. Yeah, they're a company that's all sort of, they're so. I'm gonna throw this out there and predict that this year is gonna be a disaster for them, and we're gonna find out, and it's gonna be great. I'm so excited.
For Magically,
yeah, to have a disaster of a year. I know I'm not supposed to predict yet, but
yeah, I disagree with that. Well, in the sense that we'll know about it.
Okay, all right. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about
clearly
it.
Clearly, CEO is good at hiding things.
We'll,
so
we'll talk about it because I hear what you're saying. I hear where you're coming from, but I got a logic behind it.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, Raspberry or AI stuff. Google Images. They announced all sorts of crazy stuff that they could do with images. Guess where pictures were taken? They did all their mind bending. Photo stuff. Google self-driving car caused its first accident, or an actual dude in a, you know, the car itself,
the bus, right?
Yeah, but Tesla killed a guy. AlphaGo went at Go, which was, yeah, so AI was a thing. Google got great at forming speech and talking and forming words taking sentences and just turning them into natural sounding language. NVIDIA did a giant amount of work to get their chips hardware accelerated for AI, just tons of it. George Hotz started a self-driving company and shut it down all in the same year. That was a great little drama.
Sounds about right for that game.
Yep. Music Tidal has passed 40 million users. Jay-Z moved all of his even more of his music to Tidal to make it even more exclusive. Those are just some of the highlights.
Tidal.
Yeah. Apple, they launched the iPhone SE. They launched the new iPad Pro. They didn't launch the Apple Pencil. That was last year. I don't know why I put that in there as a note. Yeah, it was the first week in April where, like, officially in April, we were worried about the fact that Apple was ignoring the Mac. Like, it was like, okay, something's wrong. We've come off the rails here. People were starting to get scared about it.
Fever pitch by December.
Apple got really serious about services this year.
Yeah, they did.
They also made more profits than Alphabet, Amazon, and Facebook combined. Which were the other, if you're not following, those were the other three horsemen in our tech horsemen.
I guess their market cap should be bigger.
Yeah, right. Apple used Intel in an Intel modem in their iPhone. They updated Messenger. Which I'm kind of liking. They started talking about their machine learning and AI stuff. Tim Cook acknowledged AR and said it was coming to Apple, which I thought was...
That's right.
Yeah, that was kind of a big deal. And obviously, no headphone jack. Pebble died.
Let's see. Next year's 10th anniversary for iPhone, right?
Yep.
Oh my gosh. I know. Such good predictions.
I know. I'm so excited.
I'm going to overshoot.
Yep.
I'm predicting I overshoot.
It's funny. I was honestly thinking... One of us has to be like the dedicated pessimist next week, and I think I'm willing to be that person.
Okay.
But I feel like one of us needs to be because that worked real well. Pebble had a bad year. Started out exciting, got worse. Nintendo had a rebuilding year. Ended Wii U production, but had a lot of good press throughout the year. Google unveiled a whole bunch of different middling products. Like Allo and Duo and Google Assistant and Android Wear that they didn't actually launch. And Google End, which I don't even remember the name of. Obviously, the Pixel was a pretty big deal. People are very excited about that, especially without a Samsung alternative. Google Home, another giant big deal and success for Google. Microsoft, they're pushing the bots. They open sourced an amazing amount of code. They became like a cross-platform supporting, like, just love fest this year. It's crazy. It's exciting. It's a big deal, I think. And they joined the Linux Foundation. it's nuts. Their phone market share dropped below 1% before they ended all mobile phone production. Yeah. And they all remember that time when they bought LinkedIn for $26 billion?
I do.
Oh, yeah. That happened this year. Musk, they announced, once again, not his companies, but him. He announced the Model 3, announced they bought Solar City. SpaceX landed a rocket in the middle of the ocean that after it put a satellite into geosync orbit, which is as hard as that was the high water mark. That was the goal. That was what they were trying to achieve. And so mission success. They did blow up a rocket and kill a guy. So what? Completely there.
So you killed two people this year, huh?
Who is it?
The self-driving car.
Oh,
sorry. I just...
Oh, sorry. Obviously he made his giant Mars announcement and he revealed the second half of his Tesla master plan.
Oh yeah. Part two.
Yeah. And then, remember, don't forget that really expensive rocket that they blew up. It had an even more, not even a more expensive, but an incredibly expensive Facebook satellite on it, which brings me to Facebook. They relaunched Messenger as a platform this time. They announced a slew of bots that some people sometimes use. Most people don't.
Apparently.
Live videos was part of their product portfolio. Obviously, they had a bit of a struggle with trending topics. And this, my favorite part of was Instagram began its wholesale theft of Snapchat features. Just unashamed. Yeah, drone race.
But the way they did it though, very classy.
Oh yeah, it was so good. It was just a Yeah, this feature is so amazing on their platform that it's sort of its own thing. So we're going to it's not even you can barely even call it a Snapchat feature anymore, don't you think? It's sort of stories.
It's more of like
story. It's sort of like newsfeed. Like,
it's a great concept.
They complimented it and stole it. I love it. Drone racing became a full-blown thing. There were a couple of giant competitions. Lots of money were given away. Bodie McBoatface was named. 3D printing was less exciting than last year, especially for MakerBot.
Was Bodie McBoatface this year? Yep. Oh my gosh, we got that, plus Brexit.
I know. So, because they actually face...
Holy cow, what a year for elections.
I know, right? Oh, my gosh. That's a tweetable comment. What a year for elections. First Bodie McBoatface, then Brexit, and then Trump. What a year for elections. So 3D printing was less exciting. There's not a ton of talk about it.
That's true.
MakerBot really struggled, but my year in 3D printing... makes me even more excited about 3D printing than I was a year ago. Like, I
read a book that got me super excited about it.
I still say that it was early in the development.
I'm
going to
3D
process.
Print something next year.
I'm going to 3D print a lot of things. I'm tooling up to buy one. You know what the problem with 3D printing for me right now is?
You don't have one?
I have friends and relatives that have amazing ones, and I can afford an okay one. And all my friends and relatives that have amazing ones are like, "Hey, just let me know. I'll make anything for you." Like, but I want That's it on point. My desk. I know, so I'm struggling with that I don't need to spend the money to get the result I want. Uber went into full domination mode in their particular category, which I think was, we obviously saw that coming. They bought Auto. They started their self-driving car program. Currency met its predictable, pitiful fate.
Oh, that was a thing at the beginning of the year.
I know.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah. If Pebble had a bad year, Yahoo had a way worse year.
Oh, my gosh, they did.
Yeah. Twitter shut down Vine, but they also started streaming NFL games. Pokemon Go happened briefly.
Did.
ARM was...
It's now on Apple Watch, though. Which I was like, yeah, whatever.
I know. It's over. Exactly. Yeah, be more fun. ARM was bought by SoftBank, which is huge.
Yeah, that's right.
Dollar Shave Club got bought for a cool billion. And the reason why this was significant is because it's a perfect example of how big companies innovate. And that is, they buy innovators. You know? And we've seen more and more of that. And yeah. Intel, the big thing that we haven't talked about with them yet is they started manufacturing ARM architecture chips. So things that didn't run on core Intel technology, which is
right.
That's a huge change, and it's all gearing up for more working with Apple. I'm telling you, and other companies, but they're working with Apple specifically. That's what they're going for. Gaming. Sony announced the PS4 Pro this year. Xbox announced the Xbox Scorpio, which is the Xbox Pro, and Nintendo announced the Switch. So next year is going to be a new year of console wars, which would be kind of fun.
Exciting.
Sony already won.
Shuffle the deck.
The race is already over, and the other two are way behind. I feel kind of bad, but let's make a big deal out of it anyways. Snapticles happened.
Snapticles.
Which oh my gosh. I can't. I'm excited. You know what? We barely talked about.
You know, they had a vending machine in Portland like last weekend.
Did you get it?
No.
You know what? At this point, I have this weird...
I had someone ask me, they were like, if they dropped one in Corvallis, would you get one? I was like, no. Like, but it's only $130. I went, no.
I might.
Really?
Just because I want it as the centerpiece of talking about how much I hate it. Like, a weird, like, I just...
I really just didn't want someone else to have
it. Yeah, exactly. I wanted to take somebody else's joy. Yeah, it's one of those. I'm so excited.
If I had $130 to spend, I would put it towards a couple of things. Either a new garage door opener, which tells you where I put it, or B, the first part of a payment for a spare battery on my new drone.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. I'm kind of in the same place. That's the reason I want one. I want a pair just because, but I like $130 is an awful lot of money to spend on something on. I just hope,
and again, this comes back to a comment I made earlier. I think that Nest is in disarray at the moment, but I hope that it makes Google go, let's do this again.
Yeah, this can be done.
Or Apple, whatever.
Yeah, somebody. BlackBerry ended hardware development this year. They made the full transformation to a boutique software company, which I think means that this is as I'm making a prediction. I think this is as close to the death of BlackBerry as we'll ever get.
Yeah, I agree.
We got a satisfying end with Palm. It actually came to a final and turbulent end. And I think BlackBerry's done.
You got your Kobayashi.
Yeah.
No, wait, what is it? No, that's different. You got they cut the head off. Whatever that's.
Oh yeah, they ended Palm. Every part of it.
You're welcome, world. That was HP.
You know what? I will always owe that company a debt. Over a debt of gratitude. Yeah, so DJI had an amazing year. GoPro did nothing to help themselves. HPI did their thing with the 3D printer, and HP did their thing with the machine. So
that's true.
That's pretty good. So that's the news.
And what a year!
I know, pretty crazy. We wrapped up the prediction show with movies.
That's amazing.
And so I'd like to wrap up our post-diction shows with our movie
predictions. We need to do that again.
I know. So Zoolander 2. Matthew said he'd like it, even if he shouldn't. I didn't even see it.
Neither. This, I feel like this is going to be a big letdown in general.
I know.
But anyways.
BFG, we were cautiously optimistic about it. Jessie was super excited about it.
She was. Never saw it.
Yep. I was sure Suicide Squad would be good.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Swing and a miss.
Turns out it was horrible.
I know. Star Trek, I was completely unexcited for. Once again, giant swing and a miss. That was one of the most fun movies of the year. Like, that was a fun movie. Just solid, well-made. Did I tell you about going to see that with Diana? We were, like, mm-hmm. we're sitting there, and, like, movie's, like, 5 minutes from starting, and we're, like, you know, recapping what it, like, how he had gotten here stuff, and I'm, like, talking about how, like, so, like, you know, last time where, like, Khan did his thing, and she was, like, which one was Khan? I was, like, Zach, what's his name? And I, like, this guy, and I, like, pulled a picture. She's, like, he wasn't in the last movie. I was, like...
Oh, no.
I know. As we're sitting there, Allison is like coming together. I was like, "Have you seen Star Trek Into Darkness?" And she's like, "What? Like where? Like Kirk dies and then gets brought back to life?" Sorry, spoiler alert. like he comes back to life, and she was like, "What?" I was like, and the theater lights come down. I mean, like it was just,
oh my god,
no.
Oh man!
Oh, it was perfect. She really liked the movie. Still, I think it was a testament to
it was a classic Star Trek film. It didn't depend on you totally having watched the other ones. It wasn't a trilogy, so it worked. But wow!
I know. It was just no idea that there had been another. She thought it was the second movie.
That's awesome.
I know. I thought it was hilarious. Wow. Finding Dory, we just like glossed over because we were like, yeah, it's gonna be good. Like that was just an obvious. Independence Day 4 too. Independence Day 2, I was just like, I could not have been more excited about that movie. I had a twinge of worry about it, but I was like, I love the first movie so much, I'm gonna love the new movie. And I still want to love the new movie. You asked about Bourne, the Bourne Supremacy, or the new Bourne movie came out, and I was like, it's boring. You're like, yeah. Turns out it was boring. Audiences agreed. We said Ghostbusters had real potential.
It did. I liked it.
Yeah. Magical Beasts, Where Are They? We were really excited about it, mostly because it's like reintroduction to the Harry Potter universe. It was the first time I could be excited about Harry Potter in years, and I feel like that one did what it needed to do.
Just kind of, I don't ever saw it. Did you ever see
it? Yeah, I saw it a couple weeks ago. It's good. I'm, you know, it's
okay.
Yeah, it ain't bad, that's for sure. We said X-Men would be the biggest disappointment of the year, and box office wise.
Wow.
We called it. Unquestionable.
I mean, Suicide Squad may have been worse.
It was worse movie, but it crushed in the box office. It did. Oh, yeah. It's giant.
They had enough hype going into it. Wow. X-Men.
We said that Rogue One would be the highest grossing movie of the year.
Is that true?
It's not going to be. It's super early in its life cycle. Yeah. And let's see. It's gonna get.
Is that the only reason why?
No, I think
what else came out that would eclipse it?
Yeah, see, so right now it's at 442 million worldwide, which 240 million domestically, and we're gonna go yearly in 2016. Finding Dory has done nearly 500 million this year. Captain America Civil War has done 408 million.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that one.
Yeah, those two alone are going to be
okay, so hard. Disney did pretty well.
Yeah, Disney did.
Oh, which owns all of them.
Yes.
What am I talking about?
Disney did great. So Rogue One.
Yeah, Disney is all three of those.
Yeah,
that's ridiculous.
Rogue One has to do another. Oh, by the way, Jungle Book was number 4 at 364 million. Zootopia was number 6 at 341 million.
Which, and these Zootopia is not Disney, right?
No, it is.
Is it?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Pretty sure.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
Are you sure? I don't think you're right. As we quickly, like...
I know.
Who did Zootopia? Is that an IMDb thing? Is that what...
I was going to go to the Wikipedia... Starring, directed by, produced by, you know, you might be right. I can't tell.
How would you tell?
Yeah.
Who
made Zootopia? Oh, it's Disney. Look at the logo at the top of it. It's got a big old Disney thing on the mark.
Disney Zootopia.
Yeah. I'm telling you, man. Right. Yeah, Disney cleaned a slate this year. Doctor Strange is number 10. Okay, wow. Already Rogue One is at number 9, and this is where we are for your top 10 movies. Disney is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of them. They had a pretty good year. Yeah. I don't think Rogue One has got... Rogue One didn't come out fast enough on the gate to beat Captain America and Finding Dory. But, yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a good movie, though.
Yeah, I liked it. I'm excited about the next one.
I would say, of the movies, one of the best ones.
Yeah, I would agree.
You know, in terms of just entertainment and good storytelling.
Yeah, the more I think about it, the more I like it, honestly. I got to go see it again. We also said that you told me I had to go see Midnight Special because you thought I'd really like it. I haven't seen it. I probably should go see it.
I don't even remember it.
It was this small movie with like a kid who had special abilities or something. It's a stellar cast. Nobody saw it. That's all right. I should tell you what happened.
I don't remember it. So that's cool.
We said that Civil War would be the biggest super movie hero of the year.
Sounds like
we said Doctor Strange would be solid, but weird and like really far behind everything else because it was this kind of this property that nobody really got except for the people who were making it. The people who were making it seemed to really understand what it was, and that boded well for it.
And it showed.
Yep. And then
it's a great movie.
Exactly.
I think. All right, I got to be careful here. I think Rogue One excellent. I thought Doctor Strange also excellent.
Right. We said that Civil War would make the most, Deadpool would make the next most, and Doctor Strange would make the least of the superhero movies. Of the three Marvel properties. And that's exactly what happened. And then we said Batman vs. Superman would be disappointing in completely expected ways.
Wow. That's amazing.
We're not quite as good at movies as we are at tech, James, but we're pretty good at movies too.
You can clearly watch a couple of them. Not be as good in completely expected ways.
I know.
Oh, you know which one I heard was horrible? It was Assassin's Creed.
It's...
I saw, what did I... I saw a tweet of it, and I don't know if I can find it fast enough to read about it. Let's see here. And my problem is that the guy who I follow tweets, like, all of the time. Yeah, let's see here, because he, for whatever reason, tweets like crazy. But he was tweeting about reviews of it. So this was one of them. He regarded it as a remake of The Matrix, directed by Terry Gilliam, but scripted by a 5-year-old boy and edited by a chimpanzee. was kind of how he did it. And then
my favorite review of it was just simply the best video game movie ever made. That was a backhanded compliment.
And this one was, the title of that article was, Assassin's Creed is, quote, a treat for fans of terrible movies.
Oh, yeah, that's rough.
Which, I don't know, when I watched the trailer, I was like, man, it looks interesting, but...
Yeah, well, you know what the problem is? This is a good movie. It's a good game. Honestly, I haven't seen it. I'm not going to talk about it. The only thing I will say is this. On Rotten Tomatoes right now, Assassin's Creed is at 19%. The movie that came out last week, though, that's at 13%, Collateral Beauty.
Collateral Beauty?
Do you know which one that one is?
No.
I'll read you the cast. It is, where is it? Will Smith, Helen Mirren, Edward Norton, Michael Pena, Keira Knightley. It is a stellar cast at 13%. Wow. Like, there was, like, Oscar buzz. Oh, yes.
I know the one. He writes letters to like, different emotions.
The love and death and everything.
Yeah.
Kate Winslet's in it. That's right. Yeah. It turns out.
Yeah.
It's real bad. Like,
really?
Like, I know.
You know, I remember like, watching the trailer and going, wow, that seems really weird. But maybe it'll work.
You know what's funny? Is it's like,
I wonder why it's so bad.
Like somebody said, it, like one of the reviews that I read that I liked, having not seen it, but just assuming this is true, is they're like, it's a Hallmark movie made with amazing casts. With like,
oh.
They're just like, it's a bad plot, poorly told. And good acting didn't save it.
I'll be honest, I'm ready for the Christmas season to be over to stop watching those Hallmark movies.
Oh,
because that was kind of like we were at the hospital, and you're just like sitting around doing nothing. So I'm like, let's watch movies. And given the time of year, Jesse's like, and we're watching Christmas movies. I'm like, oh, okay. And I would pull one up, and like you'd read the title of it, and you go, yeah, I know exactly what this is about. And sure enough, that's exactly what it was always about. It's always the same movie. Now, we did watch Elf. That movie's hilarious.
Yeah.
It's completely different, and it was good.
I haven't quite.
I almost pulled up Die Hard. I was like, man, I don't know. I'm slow when the nurse is walking in, and we've got this little baby. He's sitting there, yippee-ki-yay! Yeah. Like,
oh boy. The only Christmas movie that I like have to make it through every year, in my humble opinion, is Muppet's Christmas Carol, and I've got 15 minutes left and 45 minutes left in the night to knock it out of the park. But yeah, those Hallmark movies are brutal.
Pretty bad.
Yeah,
you get their formula. It's like crack. You know, it's not good for you, but you do.
Good times. So yeah,
wow, dude, that's an excellent year.
Yeah, we did.
Wow,
we did real good, James. We did real good. I do not know how we're gonna do better.
Myself on the
I do not know how we're gonna do better.
We got a week to figure it out.
I know, right? I feel like we should have been working harder on this.
I have a built-in excuse, but yeah.
You know, honestly, the thing is that part of the reason why I think we succeed is because we don't come in with notes. It's because we just pay attention a lot, and then we kind of get into the heat of the moment and just sort of try to feel it out. Just try to feel where it's going based on the trajectory and, you know. Helps a lot, but
cool. I love
it. Stuff. And also, awesome. Also good news. We kept it under 3 hours this year. I feel like that should be our goal for both of these episodes as we didn't do that last year.
We did not. It's easy this week. Next week's the hard one.
Well, somehow we went 3 hours on our post-diction shows last year.
I did.
Yeah. So,
oh my gosh. I know. That's awesome. Sweet. All right. Well, everybody. Awesome. Thanks for listening. We totally appreciate it. I'm already super pumped for next week. It should be good. Don't forget, you can check out show notes. I don't know what that's going to look like, but we'll have them. There'll be something there. FurlerBros.com, episode 274. And if you'd like to get them sent directly to you, you can always sign up on that exact same page. And then finally, this podcast is supported by listeners just like you. And if you would also like to contribute, you can. We have 4 different levels. You can be a tech fanboy, nerd, junkie, or maven. And each of them have their own different levels of rewards. So again, check out furtherbros.com, and you can see how you can also become a patron. That is awesome. Let's see here. I am James Furlow, and my very merry Christmas brother is Matthew Furlow, and we will talk next time.